I got him thrown on that line. That's what I got him.
What was it? Mary, what is that here? Look, are you stealing around here, or aren't you?
Ridiculous. You have, you're not entitled to be a child. I wasn't entitled to be a child. So I had a bad condition, but fuck your condition. So your conditions outdo my conditions, because Cleve Swinney ought to be given a seat. Man, his years, and I raised him up from a stroke. They carried him out here in death. There ought to be more susceptibility and sensitivity than that. And so should Shaken, not because he's an attorney, but because he has a very drastic condition. There's a seat over here. There's seats over here, I'm sure. All right. Now we will continue with the marathon and almost futile effort to explore our conscience. Are you sicker than me? I doubt it. You don't know what a blood sugar of 45 is. Ask the doctor. It's pretty bad. Makes you feel awfully miserable. Your blood sugar should be 90. Mine never gets over 45. Every time they take it, it's 45, 45, 45, 45. Nurses take it, doctors take it, it's always 45. That leaves me in headaches and dizziness, extreme irritation, like I just knocked a block off of people, but I never do. And it's always directed when I do feel like knocking a block. It's a block that deserves to be knocked, if you understand. Out of frustration, you may be around me when I can't get to a block that I want to knock, so you'll feel my voice raise, or I've had no disturbance. I jumped off a pulpit once and had one little issue of irritation display in this place, and I've been through two goddamn wars planning defenses of our people in America and in Georgetown and here. And the last time I jumped off a pulpit, it's been a long time ago. I don't even remember who and grabbed their throat. But that's what insulin does. It drives you. I can keep this enormous pace, I suppose. But it's still also awesome because it makes that generator out there sound like, and makes all your whispers sound like cannon. I just cool it. That generator sounds like somebody thumps beating a drum in my ear. You can know that. I don't even give a shit. I don't give a shit whether you know anymore. I'm not even caring because I don't believe anybody will know. I think I will be put down in the history, if there is a history of this place and the successive leadership, they'll put me down because I had to be the tough guy. Nobody likes a tough guy. Some people like to be a tough guy. I don't like it. That's why I can be trusted with it. Some people like power. I hate it. I'd rather be the friend. You can see that when I go down and pat you and love you and cry with you. That's my nature. Anyway, I have as many problems as you. Came from just as impoverished a background as you. I mean a impoverished background. Impoverished background. But we went through one winter when we had no food. I was thrown off a bridge by my dad and rejected much as could be by my mom, who had to fight for survival, and I had to live alone and find my way. And through the hate and the cold, and no doctor when the ice was coming through the roof, landing on my body, I mean, would form an ice on the cover that I had on my bed. I have known poverty. Normally, psychologically, that would make you very, very, very mean. You'd come out and you'd be the worst capitalist on earth, if you know anything of psychological evaluation. Instead of being a caring person, that kind of aggression, hostility imposed on you by external circumstances would make you not a caring person. You usually find it makes a person very bestial, capitalistic. But instead of doing that, it taught me, and I don't know what taught me, made me teach myself that it isn't right for any child to go through what I did. And I'm trying very hard to keep children from going through pain. Unfortunately, to get a free land that belongs to us and be able to be economically self-sufficient and have our own food and fight off the enemy, we have to be highly unified. And that takes discipline, that takes work, that takes structure. The government backing, as they have backed us, still backing us, in spite of those that U.S. is grumbling, would not come. It would not come at all. What backing we've had would have never come if we hadn't come out here and seen a highly organized, almost Spartan society producing. And if you can imagine survival any other way until the nuclear war comes and wipes the USA off the face of the earth, I don't know how you can talk about it. They'd throw us out of this country if we were a bunch of hippies running around with our beards and long hair. And even if you made agriculture, they would. There was a group of Americans just across the wood that did so, and they threw them out. They landed them up and loaded them up in a plane one night and took them away because they were growing marijuana. They didn't let them take a penny with them. All they left everything behind and can never return. And the only way, so I know what the history of this country is. They're wanting people to come in here and set examples. And the CIA and the Interpol and every other damn conspiracy has tried to do everything to destroy us and to make it impossible for me to function here and keep me diverted. Then I've got people here that could lead and do more. People frustrate their efforts. Then there's some I'm reading here about one leader who, one of the cassava crews, you're a good person, but they say they can't talk to you. Anything they say to you, you are defensive. You will never lead that way. You can't do your best job that way. And it's true of many a leader here. They've got real problems. They don't deal with people. They don't like people. And they refuse to be kind to people. Mm-hmm. It's anything but an ideal circumstance. It's not ideal. We have some leaders who are kind, but very few. And I'm not in any mood because I'm so much pain, I just like to fall over. So it doesn't make any difference to me. It doesn't make any difference. I see some that are not here. Where are they? I see people who are not here. What excuse have they got? On the sense of righteous indignation, and I would suggest if you have any idea who I might be referring to, I would suggest that you get them in here very quickly because I'm liable to explode because this is a very just demeanor that I'm in. I'm not at all disturbed in any sense of my mental or physical equilibrium. I'm just disturbed with people who think that they have a right, even though they do, in the family style of USA, to take special privilege, but not here. By being a communist parent, I've given my children more, and I can say that with holding my head high, I've given them more than I would if I had been a capitalist parent. My children would have been destroyed by drugs and street crime just like yours. And when you get sick and upset, shift yourself. When you get disturbed about it, stop and think about it. How many of our kids were on their way to jail? How many? I see some of your hands didn't raise. You had kids that were going to jail for shoplifting. They were doing it. They were sure as hell doing it. I know what was happening in San Francisco. How many of you kids were shoplifting? Now you find any exceptions to that. How many of the adults were shoplifting too? Be honest, real honest. Kids and children, put your hands up. Yeah, look. More than just putting people learning, that isn't going to reveal who I am. And what I mean, principle. So we've got to do other things than just administration. Normally our meeting's not made up of me talking. They're made up of certain responses, really, to good behavior and bad behavior. So why don't you look at your life and say, hey, I'm making a plus one out of myself, or a plus nine, usually. We're supposed to be zeros. We're supposed to be nothing, crucified, nothing. Say, damn it, I want this. Think about the little black baby in South Africa that's starving to death in its mother's arms as a result of U.S. dollars that you paid, U.S. tax dollars that you paid. You paid, fucker. Didn't work all day. You paid. You're a murderer. Everyone here is a murderer. We're trying to make up for it, but you're a murderer. 20, 10, 5, 40 years some of you paid taxes. Where's your taxes? It's over there. It's tax dollars over there. And your U.S. colonels and majors are over in Rhodesia torturing little babies and pulling off the balls, having the little babies pull off the balls of their dads like Obliquo. murderer. You are a murderer. You and I have been murderers. So I'm not. I'm a kid. You ate the fucking food that the dad and mom put on you. You ate the food. So all of you are murderers too. Every time you bought Coca-Cola, you helped Coca-Cola, one of the biggest investors in South Africa, that has caused the racist terror and murder. Every time you did it. I bet you come in now. Watch that blackboard. Put it over there closer. We don't want to destroy it. Have to worry about every piece of property. And if you did, I would be able to be much more the gentle father instead of having to give so many rules. We all were guilty. Not only do we have to look outside the United States, 200 people were killed by the FBI and wounded knee. Who pays the FBI? Your taxes. The FBI that murdered the black leaders, Panthers, Malcolm, I just read to you tonight in the news. Who murdered them? You. Me. Our dollars. And you sit there looking tired. Fuck you! I'm going to come out and beat your head now. At least you should stay with it tonight, because I don't talk. I usually don't talk. Got no reason to feel tired. You ought to feel guilty tonight. You have a plenty to eat. You can go back for seconds. I passed a woman today. She's 20 to 30 pounds too heavy. And the plate was heaped like, it looked like something you'd give to a hog. Got no right. You got no right to complain. No right to complain. Not one right in the world. When little babies are dying in mother's arms. When children are being napalmed in Mozambique on the border as they were last night. You got no right. Because your tax dollars paid for the napalm. Your taxpayers' dollar. Yours. Every one of you. You old people think you're not. You think you always get uptight over sex. You wouldn't do anything. Some of you wouldn't. Fuck, oh, that's so terrible. Fuck for socialism. That's so horrible. Boy, I'm glad our freedom didn't depend on you. I'm very glad I didn't feel as sanctified, holy as you. Or we wouldn't have the medical equipment, the $10,000 microscope, just one of them alone, $10,000. We wouldn't have the $10,000 coming in x-ray. We wouldn't have the electrocardiograms, two of them. Wouldn't have them. What the hell, you always question my honesty. Anybody know that I gave all these millions up when I could have collected it? You people would have given it to me. When I healed you, how many have I healed here? How many have I got out of trouble? How many have I got your loved ones out of jail? All right, for Christ's sake. Yes. He said, I got my own, got us out of jail. Now, wouldn't you give me the money? You'd have given me the money. Well, you did one time. You signed it all over. When they wouldn't follow me, they signed it over. I don't know. It was a few $100,000. Did I take it? Hell no. Obviously, I didn't take it. Got my first shirt. Somebody passed this down the way. I don't know whose it was. It's too heavy. It's not good for work out in the field, but at least it's a shirt that isn't too tight on me. Oh, and I still got the same two pair of pants with holes in them. So obviously, I'm not taking advantage. Who in the hell would want this as a picnic? Somebody says, he's going to the one of the first comers. They said, well, there's some rumor that I'm going to come over here and make slaves out of the people and then kick you off after I've got the place. What the hell would I want with it? I don't want to even live, so what would I want with this place? I wouldn't want it unless you could share it. But I could take $7.5 million if I'd have sold you out, and I could still get it. All I have to do is get the CIA on the line, tell them, and leave you. Shit. They pay me handsome. They pay me riches. And where would I go? Set in a resort someplace. I could set in a resort. Eat what I want to, drink what I want to, and have tailor-made clothes if I wanted to. But I couldn't do that. That's not me. Because I couldn't live with my conscience. You got no place you can go. Back to the States in worse condition you'll be, they'll grab your ass. You got nothing to sell. Go by, I'll give you. What are you going to sell? One of you skip over and go over the hills if you make it through the snakes and the tigers, which are 14 feet long. We found them in the folk coming back up there in the cassava. One swallow the paw and it breaks your back. If you got through, what the hell are you going to sell? Every fucker's gone before you. Wake that girl up there on that post. Don't you sleep on me tonight. I'm no mood for it. I like you. You're a nice girl, Carol, but don't sleep on me. Not tonight. Very few times I teach, and when I do, I don't want nobody sleeping. It's been weeks since I taught. Shift yourself. Sit down. It's all right, you can jump up and down. I don't mind. Now, one man all day long, you've been here 2 days. One day you get the day off, but all day long you avoid work. I beg on the bottom brigade, and you never showed up. You can get your ass in church, or you got to be forced to get here. Don't play games here. You didn't come over here to do that. We didn't bring lazy asses over here. You're a killer. You're a killer. I said, you're a murderer. You got to make restitution for your murder just like I did. You got to give yourself as much as you can to try to make a better world. Create food so we can bring in more people and give them a chance to get out of the racist hell. And finally, make a revolutionary core to build a better world. That's not now. That would be Trotskyism if we did that now. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. I hope we all understand each other. Laziness does not go in socialism. I didn't understand. If you're a Christian, Paul was hard on it worse than I. He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. He didn't say whether you're 72 or 29. He said, you don't work, you don't eat. And if I say that, there's some of you folks that would starve to death. Because you don't do spit lick of work. You think we don't know you. Oh, shit. Hypochondriacs line up at the nursing quarters. That's shit, we know you. We know you. You ain't got no more trouble than that post there. Got this trouble. I got that trouble. I got this trouble. Shit. One woman thought she's dying. We run out of medicine. We had to change it for aspirin and shit. She got to feel better. She says, oh, my God. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Going to have surgery. Oh, I'm feeling real good. We know you, honey, so quit your games. Some of you get backaches and you get this busted and you get that busted. All the reason you do it is because you want to lay off. Quit tying up our surgery when we're in a war. Face your subconscious. Avoid accidents. I work hard. You watch me when I was running over there to run to get to the brigade because I had to run from the radio and run back. When I run, you watch how I run. Jump over the plants, carefully jump, and I'm going on 50. Now jump, 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 jump. Move carefully. I don't just run haphazardly, though, to sprain my ankles, because if I sprain my ankles, you'll be in trouble. If I sprain one, it'll be in real, you'll know it'll be on an accident. Oh, I know some people do it, too, sprain it by accident. But there's some folks that have accidents all the goddamn time to keep out of work. I just want you to know that I do know you. You thought you were going to get a little Marxist parliamentarianism. I'm talking about pragmatism now, practical thought. I don't know what else there is to cover on that subject. I don't think you can make people be a zero unless they are decent. And the only way you make decent people, Mao says, out of the barrel of a gun. Now there's people not looking at me right now and shaking their head and moving back. Well, I bet you if I pointed my revolver at you, I bet your eyes would get open. I bet that woman wouldn't be nodding. And the man over there says he couldn't work today and you had real pain. I'll bet you, I put my gun on you, I bet you'd work all night without stopping. I bet you could carry wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow. Thank you, Reb. And others, if I just say, well, by God, if you don't do it, you're going to get something else. Death wouldn't bother some of you, but something else would. I get to you. We make convenience for our ailments. Some people dying don't even come see the doctor. And then in the moment of when they think they're going to go over, like Rose Peterson, giving up with cancer, I come along heal. If it's the right time and place, it'll be. Several like that. Several right to the jaws of death and ready for surgery. Pauline Simon, laying in intensive care, said there's no way she can live. Why did she get healed? Her goodness? No, there's other reasons there. Don't ask me a fucking thing tonight, I'll tell you. I hope you don't. I hope some things you don't ask me. You getting ready to ask me another question, Joyce? Be careful. I could tear this place up tonight with my mouth.
It isn't anything personal. I've noticed...
I don't give a goddamn.
I've noticed you frequently referred to the kind of thought that you go by as Marxist-Leninist, a combination of the two, and I wondered in what way they were combined.
Well, Marx is the theory, and Lenin practiced it. He put it into practice. He developed it, and he improvised the thought and adapted it to human conditions. That's why I say Marxist-Leninist thought, Marxist-Leninist practice. Lenin was the father of the revolution. Marx dreamed about it, and Lenin established it. That's pretty much what I mean. Oh, I don't know. That's a good thing I need to elaborate on, but I don't know how to elaborate on it other than I've told you. When you feel like you're entitled to something, try to force yourself to imagine what it would be if you were to quit. Everybody's got somebody to be hurt. Sorry, nobody miss me. Oh, yes, they would. Most of you got somebody, some little baby that looks to you, some little child. You're the only source of love. Some neighbor that needs your help in the field. And if there wasn't anybody, what about the babies of the world that we could redeem? We could make a touch. We could make an inroad for the tomorrows. Nothing more, we could organize ourselves heavily and make a reverse and go back and raise a lot of hell in several cities. I don't think that's practical. I don't think that's practical. There's not enough going on back there to do it. So we have to make our stand here. But there's always a way you can think less of yourself if you'll try. You can look around and see somebody who's had more pain than you. Right in this room you can find some pretty bad shit. Made slaves. Made slaves here. Made to work all day. Getting up in the morning, just laying down at night. Sun rising till sun setting, and some later, and drop babies in cotton fields and watch them die. Most of the mothers in here have lost children. You raise a typical middle class audience, not so. How many have lost children here? You think about that. You lost them because you were black, you were a worker, you were an oppressed person, you were brown, you were poor white. Same conditions, if you'd been rich, they wouldn't have had. Oh, there are things that get to the rich, too. They finally get, help his sister, don't make her hold her arm in this one position all the time. She ought to have different people take switch with her. I'm sure, the rich must die a miserable death. Anybody must be miserable to be a J. Paul Getty and do the kind of shit that he did. Put paid telephones in his house. And then one time have a heart attack because he can't get a goddamn dime to make a long-distance call. And lost $3 million, I remember, $3 million on the market someplace. Because he didn't have a fucking dime to use a telephone. Now that's miserable and stupid. And to fight with his own son over an inheritance. And then they send his grandson when they kidnap him. They send his ear. And he's so miserably cruel. He's so miserably cruel to wake you up there, dear. Young woman, don't you sleep on me. So miserably cruel that they send him his ear and he refuses to give a goddamn dime. But he died alone. It was said when he died in the hospital, nobody visited him. 5 days in the hospital, or whatever it was, nobody visited him. Nobody liked him, and he left no legacy but pain. However, the working class, as I said here, you can look around and find some in this working class that have suffered more than you. I'm sure when you think of the babies that have been beat to death by our U.S. soldiers, by our tax dollars, I would think, love, you're so conscious of cold, aren't you? A little rain. Some of you just all shuffled around. I figured you'd get a little drop on you. This breeze feels good, if you think it so. It's the coolest breeze we've had, but it's good for you. Maybe it'll blow some of the dust out of our brains. I really don't know how you could possibly imagine how your life is so bad when you think of Obliko's child being beat for 2 days till the child, 6 years old, finally can't resist anymore and takes the wire that the U.S. officers put in there, its little hands, tightens it around the ball of his daddy, scrotum, and pulls till the ball comes off. I don't think you're that bad off tonight. I really think if you kept that in your mind, you'd feel less miserable. You oughtn't to be complaining. And you that let them complain, you're as bad. You sit and listen to their chitter-chatter and their bullshit, you ought to stop it. In your dorms and your cottages, you ought to stop it. You think I don't know you. I'm back there at the back. You think I don't know you. Hell, your wife ought to report you all the time, but she's passive. She doesn't have any spine. And if somebody else come along when you get a little older and a little more wilted and wilted, shit, she'll drop you like an old dirty dish rag. You don't develop some character in your companion, they're not going to stay with you. You want them to be a slave and passive and put up with your bullshit? Okay. One day you're going to regret it. Because if you let them develop their honesty and integrity and let them speak their mind, then and then alone will you have a companion. Right now, all you got is some people enduring you. They want to cut your throat, but they endure you. And some would cut your throat. I know. They send me notes. They'd cut your goddamn throat, but they're afraid the reflection on the community. Oh, yes. I'm not asking you to say it amen out there because I know husbands and wives that get you in trouble, but I know what I'm talking about. I get lots of notes every day. Okay, zero. I don't know what more I could say to you, honey, than just think of the millions of babies around the world. Think of those in Thailand that were pushed out by American-aided and American, often American-navigated craft pushed out to sea to drown and to die out in the open seas. Thousands of them this past week. Think of the Haitians or whatever the word. Think of them. Think of them that are being put out of the United States tonight. They would come in on rafts and refuse to be given opportunity. Anybody else can come on a raft. Shit, they take in somebody from fascist country every day. Run them in there, honey. You can come home when communism frees the people. They take in all the dirty pigs from fascism. But, honey, don't you come from a fascist dictatorship. And don't be black. America isn't the land of opportunity unless you come filled with all of its capitalist shit. And even now they're turning those down. The Vietnamese that fought their war and was good little Uncle Tommy's, good little Aunt Janie's, they won't give them any refuge, and they're dying out in the Pacific on their way to try to find sanctuary in Australia. You find somebody to make it that's got it worse than you. I don't know what to do to help you make a zero. I don't know what to do with some of you people who think you have a right. Goddamn nervy bunch of people. They got in my crate and steal my pants. And nervy. You got some nervy people here. I want one pair of coveralls, you know, to work pants. They don't give a shit who they steal. Nervy people. So why do you let them do it, Father? If we get in an internal struggle, we're on a battle with the outside right now. We've got time to get... We'll keep most of it. I'm pretty purist. I keep most things cleaned up. If it gets any way too far out of line, I'll get them. But I got to depend on inspection committees and shit. I don't know. You're going to have to get more ingenious in finding places to look for it. Look under the house. Look every goddamn place you can find. Look, go out in the outer bushes sometime. These folks are clever. Capitalism is a clever creature. It doesn't die easy. I don't know how anybody could help but see zero, though. Just watch me. How I tenderly planned for the well-being of all of our babies and our seniors. I was ready to go off to war. I didn't want anyone left to be taken and tortured. Most of you were here, goddammit, two straight nights and straight days of that shit. Where we got ready to die. That's a parlor game. I just love it, don't you? So beautiful. Shit. I'd rather die 1,000 times than talk about it. Goddamn talkathons on death. I'm sick of them. But you got to talk every time, because every time you'll think of something else that you didn't think of the time before. Everybody never have a perfect plan. You got to keep reasoning. Come reason together. Some of you, sure, I'm glad though one thing went through it. One old fucker out there running around, going to leave his wife and everything. He's sleeping right now. Going to leave his wife and everything, going to trying to find a way to get in the bush. He didn't give a shit if his wife died. He didn't want to get under this pavilion. No way. You think I don't know your ass, honey? And shit, an old fool like you, you wouldn't last 3 years if you'd lived, if you'd have made it. And a fucking snake had bit your ass, just like Bernice. I love to work with her in the Bucket Brigade. She's so funny. Bernice Thomas, she got the laugh, and I got the laugh. And she said, that's a goddamn funny Patty and Ravina and Tommy. Tommy says, I'll be glad when I'm a senior citizen. I can just see him dealing with those two women there telling him what to do. He says, my God, when do I? It'll be good, or whatever he said. I don't know how I said. Bernice remembers it just exactly the way it was. And then that fucking business about the snake, and Ravina says, this is a snake. Tommy says, don't worry about it. Worry about it. You don't have to worry. 3 hours later, you'll be dead. I just love his spirit. He's got such a passive hostility. Tommy's got it made. You better hope his cutlass is not too sharp. You got those old gals moving in the cassava field this time. Patty was out there in the cassava field, as somebody told me. Now keep at them, boys. You get to moving so fast that you get the marketeers in the field with you. She's out in the field today. Work's an honor, isn't it? And Tommy, funny. When will I get to be a senior citizen so I can give orders? That's sweet. Why don't you say it louder? Somebody couldn't hear you back there. Where's the microphone? Can't you give her a microphone? Fuck you, fuck you.
Tommy, when he's, you know, we're trying to tell him the right things to do, of course, all the time.
Where's Tommy? Get over here and don't let him do this to you, Tommy.
He calls me Mom out there.
Oh, Thomas.
His eyes get about four feet round. He'll say, fuck you, fuck this, fuck, I'm through, you old women, someday I can be boss, goodbye, fuck, we sit down and wait, you know. He said that he wasn't going to give him the cassava and this and that shit, you know. I said, and in Guyana, they hate to be called a robber. They can't stand to be called robber or cheat. And I said, you, Mr. Melvin, are a robber and a cheat. And I said, we personally know Dr. Reed. And I said, tomorrow, I will make a trip to Dr. Reed, to Georgetown. I said, your name is going to be spread through Guyana as Mr. Melvin, robber and cheat of the people. He said, they're going in tomorrow, and they're going to get the cassava. With you there, whether you stand to the side, however you want to do it, they're going to get the cassava. So he brings the next day, then Ravine and I get into this fight, which Tommy thought we staged, and we didn't. But we get into this giant row, and I told her to come away, and one thing led to another. We were both gone.
So she screamed out, "Fucker! Fucking old Melvin, he's about shit. He ain't sure what he heard." And he's screaming at me. He said, "You're an intolerable female, intolerable." He said, "You're vexing me." I said, "I'm going to vex you before this night's over." So she gets gathering her sleeping bag, gathering all of her shit, and trailing down into the jungle in the middle of the night down the railroad track. And I'm hollering, "Tommy, you know she can't go down there by herself." And I'm walking out behind her. Sebastian said, "This is too much. This is a jungle. You know, there are tigers up there in this kind of..."
What'd Sebastian say?
Sebastian, you know, he said, "This..." I said, "Sebastian, walk. Sebastian, give her a karate chop and get her ass back there." And she... We can't even see her goddamn ass, and we're flashing a light. And I said, "Is that her?" I said, "Don't tell her I'm here, because she's mad at me." Sebastian says, "Ravina, Ravina." She says, "What?" He says, and I'm hollering, "Tommy, you better come on. Tommy, you better hurry up. Tommy, get your boots." We walk down there, and she's sitting on the railroad track pissing. I said, "Ravina, what are you doing?" I said, "Now, come on and get back." She says, "I'm pissing, and I'm thinking." Sebastian said, "You two are a trip." So we wait, and pretty soon here comes old Melvin, patting it down there. He said, Robina, patting that. And the next day, the old son bitch comes carrying our cassava sticks, helping us with our sticks, and coming over, offering us any goddamn thing we want. He brings a little Amerindian down. He speaks Carib Indian, and he says, "Tell him, George, I gave him free. Patty, tell him I gave him free. I don't want to be bad Mr. Melvin through the community."
That's interesting. That is interesting. You got them free. And they said very good sticks, and that was our tasty dish of cassava tonight, which I thought about starving babies when I eat it. That makes you appreciate it more. Any other questions? We need to have some questions. We need to get some understanding. Occasionally we're getting too far away from principle. We have to do it. Shift, please.
Several tigers. There's a black cat, the 14-foot turtle tiger. There's some other tigers. I don't know the names of all of them. But he said that last week, Melvin said last week that a man was eaten by a tiger. And the tiger, they even found prints where they cut into the cutlass of the man. He ate the man, what he said.
Mm-hmm. They'll do it, and yet they never come in our property, and the snakes don't bother us. We've never been bitten. All the years we've been here, we never had a bite. And they stepped on them, and the snakes have died. All kinds of marvelous things that have happened. Stay on your land, and probably some people try to invade it, they get bit. Next question. Come on, ask me some questions about politics, history, and practice. Yes, restroom. Yes, Jack?
With his Menshevik politics, how he would have fared as a leader, I feel it would have really screwed things up badly. I'd like to hear more about that in detail.
I think I went over that subject. If you want to add to it, you may. You can add to it. I think I already explained that he was, his romanticism and his idealism and his internationalism would not have been tolerated by the capitalist powers, and he would have been put down.
Well, I was referring to the fact that he would have played to the bourgeoisie too much.
Depends upon who you're reading and the writing. It's possible. Why do you think he would have encouraged too much democratization too soon?
Well, I think that in trying to gain his purpose, he would have been over. No, I just feel that he would have cooperated too much with the people with money. And
what gives you the foundation for that?
There was a writer who I read one of the books we have here. It gives the life history of Trotsky, and it told about him being the leader of the Mensheviks, which were the ones who cooperated too much with the bourgeoisie.
He was not the leader of the Mensheviks, but he may have been a Menshevik. I don't know at one point in time. I'm not that familiar with all of his earlier history. But he was not. The old president of the Mensheviks died in the United States. I didn't think he was a rogue in that sense. I think he was just too idealistic. That's how I would depict him. But But if you have some documentation of something you've read, I would be more than happy to have it put forward. Anyway, I don't think that his concept of starting international revolutions would have worked, no more than if we start some shit to try to take over Port Kaituma. I don't think we'd be tolerated a half an hour. Better build here and set an example. We'll win people by example. Produce so we can bring people in. Then we produce adequately. We can build a place where people will find enough pleasure. Sure, there's room for pleasure. I don't need it, but like we're now making in the last meeting, steering committee, the thought of how to build a lake. Well, that's an ideal thing for fishing, for life. It's an ideal thing. There's a lot of problems with it. But if we produce enough, we can override the problems in terms of wealth and our wealth of our production and build such that could be a source of fishing, swimming, boating, a number of things. Enormous source of food supply. Go ahead. You got any comments? I have no problem. I agree with you, in fact, that Trotsky would not have been a good successor. I think the Soviet Revolution would have failed. My own personal opinion. Who can know? He didn't succeed. It's easy to theorize about things that didn't happen. Yes.
Able to continue the publication of Iskra. He was abroad for quite some time, and even his editorial staff, you know, had split and, you know, had decided to go a different way from him. How did he manage?
Are you familiar? I'm not personally familiar. I'm familiar with the number of years that he spent in exile in Switzerland and so forth. I don't happen to recall that particular chapter. Feel free to speak up.
That was why Stalin was so powerful and why he was able to run everything, because while everybody else was in exile, he was the only one that he was smart. He stayed in, he kept publishing the papers. He kept everything organized, and he was one of the last ones to get arrested and go into exile. And then he got out and had everything set up again when everybody else came back. And so he kept all that stuff going and had everything. He had all the underground organized. He had all the secret police organized. He had all the intelligence organized. And then during the war, when Trotsky had to be out on the front trying to look good, Stalin was in the back doing all the shitty paperwork and processing the orders.
He was a worker. He was indeed the worker.
And so that when it came time to take over the party, he had been running the party for years. And that's who did it.
I didn't know about the paper, but I know the other facts you're saying sound very, very familiar to me. Didn't split. There was no split under Lenin. No, there was no split. Lenin was in very ill health, and Stalin, there was an internal struggle. There was an internal struggle that finally, it was even suggested that forces around Stalin kill Lenin. I doubt that, but I can't say one way or the other about that. However, I am assured of this, that you're talking about a major party break? Well, that's before. Menshevik government was a liberal social democrat government before the Soviet takeover. And it just became decadent, and like all social democracies, it was orienting to capitalism and had terrible, terrible strong economic ties with the Western world. And Lenin sort of thrust himself on it, took over the minority. He took over this minority government and established a truly communist or socialist government. Fluke accidents, though, shit, you know, Christ, look at the accidents of history. Think, well, we're never going to make it. You never know an accident of history. Damn shell went off with one of that attacks on Petrograd. Soldiers made a misfire. Somebody got drunk and hit the fucking cannon. The cannon went off and landed right in the middle of the the palace. And the soldiers started running because they thought the goddamn Russian, the Red Guerrillas had taken over. A lot of accidents and all this shit. One of you may swing the cutlass that does the job. You never know. Maybe you'll invent something back in the machine shop that'll make the difference. Or elsewhere, where we're working fastly on all kinds of ideas. Now, Trotsky and Stalin had a terrible struggle, and Stalin, it is said, Lenin was not fond of him being a successor, thought he was too power-driven. But I don't agree necessarily with that. We only have a lot of speculations of people who have one point of view or another. They're partisan in what they're trying to convey. I simply say that we were never seeing communism the scale it is today, even with all the errors of nationalism. And nationalism is going to be, it's there. Who in the hell is fond of China's nationalism? Who's fond of it? Who likes a nationalism like China has? But they've got a tremendous internal policy of cooperation and socialism and complete sharing. Everybody lives in cooperatives, an ideal medical program. And in time, those people will get back to their perspective. They built too wonderful a society not to get back. There's no personal wealth in the hands of leadership. There's a tremendous economic sharing internally. The Chinese, though, have that mutual strife. The Soviets, the Russians, they've been on the border for years, and Russia's white-colored thing. It's a racial thing. And all people go through nationalistic feelings. I've seen in People's Temple, Los Angeles have a sense of togetherness against San Francisco, you know. Los Angeles and Redwood Valley and territoriality instincts, it's everywhere. You used to see it, remember? You'd see it. People come to various places, you'd feel out of place, you weren't too welcome. Little cities, and I don't like it, but animals are that way. The territoriality instinct of the animal, you get a goddamn eagle, he designs by nature where the hell is, where his territory is. And if you move one goddamn square, you move an inch off of his territory, he'll kill the next eagle, or he'll fight to the death. That doesn't die easily in the human species. The unfortunate thing in the communist revolution, we had a fucking nuclear age. All thing we didn't need was nuclear age. Otherwise, you'd see a whole world of communism today. But the master minds of capitalist exploitation, their mass technology, they built these damn bombs, and they've known how to use them and threaten and divide and conquer, and nothing like somebody that's senile and incapable using their power wrongly. What the hell are you going to do if you have some crazy in here with a bomb right now with nitroglycerin? We're going to deal kind of slowly with them. That's what USA is in the eyes of the world. And at times it caused Russia to take policies that were contrary to what China felt was in the interest of international development. That created more nationalistic tendencies on the part of the Chinese. It's a bad ball game to be in a nuclear age trying to develop a revolution. And undoubtedly we'll have damn nuclear war before we win the revolution. Undoubtedly so. The Chinese base their concept on that. That's their whole concept. Let the USSR and the USA fight it out. Build a strong internal development. Take care of the Chinese. Keep your resources, because China will be the one that will lead the revolution of the future. I can't take that kind of pragmatism. I can identify with it, because in a sense we have to do some of it here. Chinese certainly have taken care of their people to a magnificent degree, building underground shelters, knowing the nuclear war is coming, in underground shelters, underground hospitals, and to the degree the underground shelters reach out 100 miles into the hinterland. It's a,